Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 27th day of September 2022. I am thrilled to have a first-time guest today. His name is Eric Johnson, and he works with Mormonism Research Ministry, and I'll be introducing him momentarily. But since I didn't have time to do so yesterday, since we had three guests on and didn't really have much time to give you all a report, a praise report, but my pastor's luncheon last Thursday, the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio free pastor's luncheon that I have biannually, this time featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, was absolutely magnificent. Praise be to God. We had the largest turnout ever. Approximately 200 men were there. And I keep getting reports, praise reports, from the men in attendance on how they were blessed in extraordinary ways. And it's what makes it even more amazing is that Dr. White didn't even know what he was going to speak on until he sat down on the ledge of the platform there in the sanctuary of Church of the Living Christ in Louisville, Pennsylvania, and began opening up his heart about how his experiences as a hospital chaplain groomed him for superior abilities to labor in pastoral ministry. He had experienced things as a hospital chaplain that he had never before experienced, and gone through trials with families that he had never faced before. And that very much of that content is included in his book, Grieving Our Path Back to Peace. That was magnificent. The debate that he had with Dr. Peter Van Kleek, also at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville, Pennsylvania, on the theme, the Textus Receptus, as the Word of God is equal to the New Testament autographs. Dr. White was opposing that thesis. Dr. Peter Van Kleek was defending it. That was a great success as well. We had a very good turnout for that. And he spoke at two other churches. And that was those were excellent events. And everything was finalized by him preaching at the Sunday morning service at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. And I loved being in attendance and things. So all of those events should be available on YouTube, and we will get you more detailed information in the days. I hope that many of you, if not all of you listening, will take advantage of those resources. But as I was saying, today we have for the first time on the program Eric Johnson, who works with Mormonism Research Ministry and has written and co-authored several books, including Answering Mormons' Questions, Mormonism 101, and Sharing the Good News with Mormons. Today we are addressing his latest book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, a Practical and Comparative Guide to What the Bible Teaches, and that features a foreword by someone who's been a guest on this program, Micah Wilder, a former Mormon who is a convert to Christianity by the grace and mercy of God. We discussed his book, Passport to Heaven, in the past on this program. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Eric Johnson.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. I appreciate it.
I am also thrilled to have a returning guest, somebody who I have had the privilege, the great privilege and honor to call my friend going back to the late 1980s, early even before I had my own program as an account executive for WMCA Radio, which is a part of the Salem Media Network of radio stations, the largest Christian radio network in the world. While working there as an account executive in the 90s and early 2000s, I was able to book Dr. Latane C. Scott as a guest on their in-house talk show, Andy Anderson Law, was originally called Talk New York. And then, after departing WMCA and launching my own show, I've had the privilege of interviewing her a number of times. She is a former Mormon and convert to Christianity, and the author of The Mormon Mirage, A Former Member Looks at the Mormon Church Today, and quite a number of other books as well. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as a co-host once again, Dr. Latane C. Scott.
Oh, it's always a privilege, Chris. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you on, sister. And Eric, please tell our listeners about Mormonism Research Ministry.
Well, it's a ministry that started in 1979. Bill McKeever founded that, and he's today still the leader, the president of Mormonism Research Ministry. We used to live in California. Bill moved to Utah in 2004. I followed him in 2010. And today we have a podcast of our own that we've been doing since 2011 called Viewpoint on Mormonism. And that can be found at mrm.org/podcast. We're on 6 different radio stations. This past month, we added a station in Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii. We're pretty excited about that. We have a website, mrm.org, that has many different articles. We get about 1,700 hits a day. And so a lot of people go there for information on Mormonism. And we have a twofold purpose. The first objective we have is to share our faith with Latter-day Saints. Being in Utah, we have plenty of opportunity to do that. And then secondarily, we also want to share with Christians what Mormonism really is and how they can be effective in talking to their Latter-day Saint friends and family members.
Well, I want to also thank really heartfelt demonstration of gratitude to your publisher, Harvest House Publishers. They donated 100 copies of your book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, to my recent pastor's luncheon. And I know that they should come in very handy because there are quite a lot of Mormons around here in the South Central Pennsylvania area, much to my surprise after moving here. And I just want to thank them again for being so generous and providing these. And Eric, I'll be sure to let you know if I begin to hear back from some of these men with praise reports about your book.
That's great. I appreciate it.
And we have a custom here. We have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, the kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So please, if you could, give us a summary of your salvation story.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, actually, specifically denominational-wise, Lutheran church. And when I was 10 years old, I was watching Billy Graham in 1972 at a crusade. And when everybody came forward at the end, as they always would do with the Billy Graham crusades, I asked my parents what they were doing. They said, well, they were inviting Jesus into their heart. And I asked my parents, is that something that I have done? They said, well, I don't know. Have you? And so I knelt right there and prayed and asked Jesus to be a part of my life officially, although I had faith before that time. And then it was a few years later, 1978, Jim Jones had brought a bunch of people down to Guyana, and he was supposed to be some kind of a Christian pastor, but he had 1,000 people drink cyanide-laced Kool-Aid. That really threw me for a loop, and after that time, I decided I wanted to make sure that I was owning my own faith and not just borrowing my parents' faith. So I did a lot of research, reading the scriptures of different religions. When people came to the door, inviting them into a conversation and talking to Hare Krishnas and others out at San Diego State, taking world religion classes. Those are the kinds of things that I really wanted to understand what they believe. So that kind of got me started in comparing what I believe to be true with what other people believe. And that's kind of, and then in 1987 ended up coming to Utah, having done some work with Mormons before. And I really fell in love with the Mormon people. That's why I settled on this kind of ministry, meeting Bill McKeever in 1989, and have been involved with that ministry ever since.
Well, praise God. And well, tell us why in the 21st century, when we have a lot of books written about Mormonism that fill the shelves of the rare Christian bookstore that still exists, or the websites of Christian book distributors, why did you say to yourself, you know, there's a lot of great books out there, but I think there is need for at least one more? And the idea of introducing Christianity to Mormons, a practical and comparative guide to what the Bible teaches. Why did that come to your mind, and why did you believe that this was something that should be included among the other resources that Christians already have available?
Trust me, Chris, I wasn't looking to write another book. I've written other books, and I kind of thought maybe I was done with all the ideas that I had. But in August of 2020, my daughter, my youngest daughter, Hannah, came into the office where I'm sitting right now and asked me for a book to give to a coworker who was a Latter-day Saint but left the church. And we have to understand, they are leaving in droves. Can vouch for that, I'm sure, that they have in the last decade just been leaving like crazy and not going to our churches, our evangelical Christian churches, going to really nothing or atheism. But she asked me for this book. You're right. There are a lot of books. One of my favorites is The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Great book. Has some great chapters in the beginning, the first seven chapters having to do with the Bible and its reliability. But as I looked through that book and others, they're all good books, but it didn't seem like there was a book there that would really reach out to a Latter-day Saint who has the same terminology, the same language that we as evangelical Christians use, but they have different meanings to them. And those kinds of words are not described in any of those books that talk about basic Christianity. I told my daughter, I said, you know, I think this is a book that needs to be written, but I said it innocently enough. And that afternoon, as I'm mowing the grass, I thought to myself, I really need to write this book because I think this will be a helpful book to a lot of Latter-day Saints claim to be Christian, but they don't understand what we as evangelical Christians do believe. They have a lot of straw man arguments. So when we use those terms like God, Jesus, salvation by grace through faith, they'll all say, oh, I agree with those things. But unless you can define what those things mean, it's not going to make any difference trying to explain your faith to a Latter-day Saint. I want to get rid of the stereotypes. I want to get rid of the straw man arguments that Latter-day Saints use against our faith, such as the Trinity. Well, who was Jesus praying to in the Garden of Gethsemane is a common question you'll get. And that misunderstands what the Trinity is. Or salvation by grace and the idea that immortality is provided based on what we did well in the pre-existence is what Mormonism teaches, that we lived in a previous life before this as spirit children of God, of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. And so because we were born here, we were worthy because we did right. But that's not true salvation in Mormonism. It's not just immortality that all people get one of three kingdoms of glory. It's actually exaltation or eternal life or celestial glory. And that's by keeping all the commandments of God continually, the unique LDS scriptures. And there are four of them, the King James Version. They have the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price. And especially those unique three scriptures, the Book of Mormon is very clear on what needs to be done. Keep the commandments of God continually. And unless you do, where I am, you cannot go, is what God supposedly tells Emma Smith in Doctrine and Covenants 25:15. So in the short answer, this book is needed because I think Christians need to not so much worry about getting them out of the church, they're leaving the church, but rather to help them understand that they should not throw the baby out with the bathwater, to provide a reasonable alternative to Mormonism. But this is not just an alternative. This is the truth. We believe that the Bible is true. We believe that Jesus is a savior, and I want to be, is the savior, and we want to be able to provide that to the Latter-day Saint.
Yes, you reminded me. Okay, go ahead, Latane.
Your book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, is really a good book, and I wanted to follow up on one thing that you mentioned. You said that we may be using the same terminologies but meaning different things. And in your book, you gave a terrific example of that with the word mom. I wonder if you would mind sharing that, because it's such a good, accessible example that you gave.
Yeah, and you know what? This book, Latane, is not unique. I copied from everybody. I borrowed from all the different writers, scholars. And so this one, this story, I took from my friend Corey Miller, who heads up a ministry called Ratio Christi, excellent ministry that is at the colleges. And this is from his book, but this is what it says. Many Mormons initially soft-pedal differences until forced to admit them. So I try to engage them by illustration. Then he says, me, let me ask you a personal question. Do you have a mom to the Latter-day Saint? And the Mormon smiles, will reply, yes, of course. And he says, I do too. Can you spell that? The Mormon says, M-O-M. Me, no way. I spell it the same way. Maybe we have the same mom. I ask, can you spell it backwards? And the Mormon says, M-O-M. Me, and excitedly I blurt out, surely we have the same mom because it is spelled the same. Then he writes, upon further describing our respective moms, if hers is 6 foot tall and mine only 4 feet tall, then they are two different moms. One can then point out that while we all spell Christ and God the same way, the meanings aren't necessarily the same. I thought that was a great illustration, as you've pointed out here, because what it's done is it says, yes, if you go down the line, they'll agree with all of the terms we believe in. But if you don't define what that term means, that's our problem.
Yes, and in fact, a woman who is a Mormon responded to the promotion of this interview, saying that it was, and I'm paraphrasing what she said, but she was basically saying it was ridiculous that we were even discussing this subject. She said that Jesus Christ is obviously the cornerstone of the Church of Latter-day Saints. That is also further revealed in the very name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And so therefore, is absurd that we as Christians were a claim that we had to introduce Christianity to Mormons. And I just simply responded to her, going along with the theme of what you are now saying, that Mormons have very often the same vocabulary but a different dictionary. And I said, the Jesus Christ of Mormonism is not the Jesus Christ of the... And why don't you now give some of... outline some of the very basics as we start off this, and the core issues that would separate Mormonism from...
Well, let me first bring up what you just mentioned. The title of my book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, is controversial, I suppose. I didn't write it for the Latter-day Saints particularly, although I would love people to be able to give that book to Latter-day Saints, as I would hope like my daughter could give to her friend. But introducing Christianity is the first two words, and those are loaded terms. And I don't suggest you go up to Latter-day Saints and say, you're not a Christian. Oh, yes, we are, because you're going to get in this ping pong match back and forth, and that's not going to do any good. I never bring up that issue with Latter-day Saints and say, you're not a Christian, because they take that very sensitively. But I'm going to say, and Latane, you can help me on this, 30 years ago, Latter-day Saints didn't want to be known as Mormons, or excuse me, as Christians. They wanted to be known as Mormons. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes, because they wanted a differentiation between what they saw as a restored and complete Christianity as opposed to what the Christian world had, which was a deficient Christianity because there'd been no authority on the earth for Christianity for 1,800 years. So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, so in recent years, we've seen where Christian seems to be something they want to hold on to. So we have to understand when that does come up, we have to explain, well, we do have differences, and we're not the same. But then the idea that I would write to Mormons, that is not supposed to be a term we're allowed to use anymore, because the current prophet of the church, 98-year-old Russell M. Nelson, he's the 17th president of the church. He was supposedly told by Jesus that he's offended when that is used to replace the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the official name of the church. So they even had, I think it's great branding that they took away, LDS.org and Mormon.org. They said, well, we're not going to use those anymore. Even though for years that, like, for instance, 15th president Gordon B. Hinckley, in 1990 at a general conference said that Mormon means more good. And he said it was fine. They could call us worse things, he said. But Nelson says we're not allowed to use that anymore. So they actually took away those two website pages. And now it's called the Church of Jesus Christ, or churchofjesuschrist.org. And you have to type in a lot more words. I cheat all the time. I'm probably making Jesus unhappy, but I put Mormon.org or LDS.org to get to the website I want to get to. But I asked the Latter-day Saint, well, how am I supposed to title my book? In four words, I can communicate to a Christian audience, introducing Christianity to Mormons. Am I supposed to say, introducing evangelical Christianity to members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? That title would never have been accepted by Harvest House. You ask, Chris, what are some of those top issues? Well, what I do in the back of the book is I have an appendix that is a glossary of terms. And so there are a number of differences. Who is God? Mormonism believes that God has a body of flesh and bones, that God once lived in another realm as a human being. He could have been a sinner. He died. He became the God of this world, that he worshiped a God before him, who was his heavenly father. And then that heavenly father worshiped a God in infinite regression of the gods. The God of Christianity says that I am the only God. There is no God before or after me. Isaiah 43:10, Isaiah 44:6 and 8. God doesn't know of any other God. Show them to me, he says. Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Very clearly, the Bible says that God is our only God and there are no others. Another thing would be salvation. How does a person receive salvation? I alluded to it earlier. According to Mormonism, they do believe in grace. And the way I distinguish this in my book in the appendix is for the Christian, we believe that it's unmerited favor from God provided to those who place their trust in Jesus. I tried to limit myself to one sentence. So hard to do. But that is what Christianity says. Unmerited because we didn't do anything to earn it. Well, Mormonism says grace is God's enabling power provided by God to help a person keep the commandments. You see what was just done? They slipped a fast one in there. And what they're saying, that's right off of the church website, by the way. God's enabling power for you to keep the commandments because you're saved by grace after all you can do. That's what the Book of Mormon says in 2 Nephi 25:23. That's opposite of what the Bible teaches in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. So just understanding the nuances of the differences that I've talked about here, I think will help a person understand that at the heart of the matter, Mormonism denies or distorts every fundamental teaching in the historic Christian church, period. That's the truth.
And we have to go to our first break right now. If you have a question for our guest today, Eric Johnson, send it in to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You are starting to question your own religion. Some of the things that my guest and co-host, Dr. Latane C. Scott, some of the things they're saying are beginning to make sense to you, perhaps. And you really don't want to draw attention to your identity at this point, since you are still a Mormon. I can understand reasons like that would compel you to remain anonymous. and others, of course. But if it's just a general question on Mormonism, please give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. I'll remind my guest and co-host that since you are on Microsoft Teams, you will not be hearing the commercials. And we would remind you also that you say every sound you make will be. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K through 12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit FLFnetwork.com. That's F for Fight, L for Laugh, F for Feast, Network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from a tie in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, Royal Diadem is offering our listeners a great way for you to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you purchase jewelry. In fact, you may have heard this announcement before, but they are extending the offer for a longer period of time. Anytime you purchase jewelry from royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, when the purchase is $100 or more, 100% of the profits will go directly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And they are specialists in custom design jewelry, so whether you are getting a custom-designed engagement ring, or perhaps you want to take the logo of your church or parachurch ministry and turn it into a piece of jewelry like a pendant or a ring. They do absolutely spectacular work. I've seen it firsthand. The second oldest son of the woman who led me to Christ in the 1980s, he had a necklace pendant created by Royal Diadem Jewelers, an absolutely breathtaking cross pendant. And it not only, they not only followed his instructions to the T, but they far exceeded his expectations, as the ad says. And that's the truth. It's not just a gimmick for advertising. So if you want something like that done, or if you just want to purchase jewelry they already have in stock, go to royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so that we will receive 100% of the profits. And I will let you know when they are going to bring an end to that specific offer for us to get all of the profits. So I hope you order your jewelry as quickly as possible so that we can benefit from it. We are now back with my guest, Eric Johnson. Eric is the author of the new book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons. And we also have as a co-host today my dear friend, Dr. Latane C. Scott, who is also, well, unlike my guest, she is a former Mormon who was saved by the grace and mercy, the author of quite a number of books as well, including the classic work, The Mormon Mirage. And if you ever want to hear any of our interviews here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with Latane C. Scott, just go to ironsharpensironradio.com and type in Latane in the search engine, L-A-T-A-Y-N-E, and there are quite a number of them, including recently Latane's response to the recent TV series Under the Banner of Heaven, which got quite a lot of responses from listeners, both positive and negative. There were not only angry Mormons, sadly, but there were also people who had left Mormonism who were angry that we were offering hope of any kind in the spiritual realm that included Jesus Christ and so on. They didn't care what kind of religion we were endorsing. The fact that we were giving the hope of eternal life to sinners, they thought was just ridiculous. They had been so burned by their experiences. So I hope that you look up those programs. And Latane, as a former Mormon, when you have read Eric's book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, what about it did you like so much? I heard you speaking with Eric before we even went on the air, and you were quite impressed with his work. What about his book did you like the most? You've already mentioned some things, but did anything trigger the thought in your head, I wish that I'd seen this book when I was a Mormon long before I converted to Christianity?
Actually, I wish that the people who were trying to help me out of Mormonism had had a book like this. It's a very useful book. One of the things I think that is most useful about it, besides the, did you call it, Erica, a glossary at the end, or you called it something else, a glossary?
Yeah.
Okay. That is helpful. But just the entire setup of the book, because he starts with, things that are, I think, most basic. And he used a device that's very helpful to people, I think, readers of today, in that he gave a kind of a précis or a summary of each of the chapters in about a paragraph or so, and then he goes on to explain it. So as you're looking through the book, if there is a subject that you're interested in and you're not really sure which category it would fall in, you can read his little summary there. And I say little, not because it's insignificant, but because it's short and accessible. I thought that was really good. And I guess another thing that I really appreciated was the way that he explained in a very accessible way to what I'm afraid is a biblically illiterate church how we got the canon or the number of books that we have in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I thought his explanation of that was very accessible and very helpful.
Great. And we have a listener in Ada, Ohio, who has a question for you, Eric. David, he says, could you discuss the Salamander letters and the Hoffman problem, which happened many years ago? And does that past have anything to do with the Mormons of today? And he has a second follow-up question, if you want to just start with the first, Eric.
Well, real quickly, there was a guy named Mark Hoffman who was a forger. And actually, the church, the LDS church, was purchasing a lot of his material that he was forging to take it off of the street, so to speak, and to be able to hide it. Gordon Hinckley was one of the main players in that, who later became the 15th president of the church. He was the first counselor in the first presidency, one of the top three leaders in the church. And so it doesn't really have much for my book or really anything today, but just to say that Mark Hoffman, a master forger, and he ends up getting himself into trouble and ends up using bombs to kill a couple of people. He actually maimed himself with a bomb that went off in his own car in Salt Lake City. In fact, our friends, Latane's friends of mine, Gerald and Sandra Tanner, were very much involved with that because Mark Hoffman had gone into their store and begged Gerald to authenticate his work because he felt that what he was doing was real. But one of the things that he did was called the Salamander Letter. And because Joseph Smith was involved in occultism, he was involved in the magic worldview, so to speak, used a seer stone to translate the Book of Mormon. He was always looking for treasure using that stone. And so it made sense to the leaders that maybe Joseph Smith did talk about seeing this magical salamander, and that's why they wanted to buy that and other things. And he was coming up, Hoffman was coming up with such incredible finds that it was impossible for anybody to have found all the things that he did. But he made a lot of money before he ended up getting caught.
Now, when you say that Gordon Hinckley and other Mormon authorities were trying, they're buying up Hoffman's alleged artifacts that were actually forgeries, but were they buying them up and hiding the contents of these artifacts because they believed them to be truly from the hand of Joseph Smith, but embarrassing to them about their history? Something like the Mountain Meadows Massacre, for instance, has embarrassed the Mormon church for many, many years. And it was only, I think, fairly recently in history that they started being more open and honest about the actual events that occurred with the murder of innocent men, women, and children. So what was the deal there? Were they hiding it because they believed them to be real, actually from Joseph Smith's hand, but embarrassing, but because they suspected they were forgeries and just didn't want people to be duped by them?
Not the latter. They really believed them to be true. Otherwise, they would have called it forgeries and they would have asked the FBI to step in and try to figure this out. Now, the Salamander letter was one that actually got released, and the AP actually put out a copy of it with all the words there, which was quite embarrassing to the church. But they were buying a lot of journals and other things that nobody knew anything about, because they weren't real. And so he was coming up with these things. But the thing that made him a genius, as far as a forger goes, he used the paper from the 19th century, he used the same ink. He had a way of, I mean, it was fooling the experts. Maybe Letang can talk a little more about that. But it to me, that just shows how culpable this religion is, this church is, to bad publicity. As you mentioned, Mountain Meadows, it took them years and years before they came up and did a ceremony there at near Cedar City. And they never apologized. They just basically acknowledged that it happened, but never have taken any guilt or any kind of apology to be given. So the church is very much a public relations church. Wouldn't you agree with that, Letang?
I would. And I think the most devastating factor that has happened was the advent of the internet, where people had access to many of these things. I mean, when I left Mormonism, I had Gerald and Sandra Tanner's big old bulky book with photocopies of these documents. But now anyone can go on the internet, and people have provided those. And I document in my book, the Mormon Mirage, how the church in Japan, for instance, the Mormon church in Japan was devastated by the advent of the internet, because in kind of a closed society there as Japanese Mormons, they had accepted everything that had been told to them by the Mormon church and did not have access to, for instance, translated materials from the early church history. And once they got that over the internet, it just decimated the population of the Mormon church in Japan, just a microcosm of it, because the church was not able to use their enormous funds and publicity arms and other, everything else to overcome that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
By the way, David, make sure you give us your full mailing address in Ada, Ohio, because you have won a free copy of Introducing Christianity to Mormons, thanks to our friends at Harvest House Publishers, who have donated a limited number of copies for those submitting questions today. And also, that will be shipped out to you for free by our dear friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, .com, who will be shipping that out to you at no cost to you. So thanks for listening and submitting an excellent question. Just out of curiosity, Letang, how prevalent or tiny is the Mormon church in Japan? Because years ago, in the early 2000s, when I first launched Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, a Japanese listener, since the program was, as it is now, live-streamed, a Japanese listener who had been rescued out of the Mooney cult was thanking me for an interview I did on the Moonies, and she said that she was very depressed because she could not find a church home, an evangelical Christian church home, near her, because less than 1% of Japan is Christian. So how small could Mormonism be?
It must be pretty small. I'm sorry, I don't have any figures on that.
Okay. And Eric, one of the things that I have become very familiar with is that, as you even mentioned moments ago, there is a lot to do with Mormonism is public relations, damage control, and that kind of thing. When I first encountered face-to-face a Mormon as a brand-new born-again Christian, I responded to a television ad that said, if you would like a Book of Mormon hand-delivered to your house by a Mormon elder, to call this toll-free number. And I did so. And at the time, being a young Christian, and as they call us when we're new into the Reformed faith, I was a cage-stage Calvinist, and I was ready to take on the world with my newly found faith. So it was kind of a trap for the Mormon elders that came to my house. But there was a very different attitude in the late 80s when this encounter took place, because the young man who was the more knowledgeable of the two that came to my home, after the niceties and the friendliness, he was very clear that he believed that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was the only true church. And much more recently, in the 21st century, there are Mormons roaming around the neighborhoods of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, right where I'm sitting. And the last time I encountered them in the street, when I noticed the white shirts, the black ties, and the black name tags or badges, I called out to them and approached them and started to have dialogue about the gospel. And they had a totally different approach. And basically they were saying, you've probably heard that the Mormons think we're the only true church, but that's not true. We're Christians just like you. So it was a very different encounter. And we have to go to our midway break. So I want you to pick up on that when we return. And if those who are also waiting to have their questions asked will be patient, we will get to you as soon as possible. But if anybody else wants to get in line, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. And please be patient with us as we take this station break. And don't go away. We will be right back after.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times best-selling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests, starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com. and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. for details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He will not use the thoughts of other men's brains, proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, to make your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com. They bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. In fact, Solid Ground Christian Books has published a book by Dr. James R. White on the subject that we are addressing today. In fact, a couple of books by Dr. White on this subject. If you go to the search engine and type in Mormon at solid-ground-books.com, you will find Letters to a Mormon Elder by Dr. James R. White. And you will also find Is the Mormon My Brother? Discerning the Differences Between Mormonism and Christianity, also by Dr. James R. White. At solid-ground-books.com, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to our guest today, Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry, and Dr. Latane C. Scott, who is our co-host today, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer the old-fashioned way of mailing things via snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, feel free to please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what we believe, we would certainly love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. I want to remind you again, as I try to do every day, please never cut in to the finances that you have allotted to give to your own local church where you're a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, don't give less money to your own church than you're accustomed to giving your church to give us a gift. And please, if you are really struggling to survive, wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you give us a financial gift. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture: providing for your church and providing for your family. And obviously, giving financially to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God. But if you do love this show and you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please use some of that money to help us continue to survive, if indeed you love the show and don't want us to disappear. It's ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches and may be able to help you find a church within minutes from your own home, as I have done many times for listeners spanning the globe in our audience. So if that's the case with you or someone you love, you don't have a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church where you live, anywhere in the world, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Anita Church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest, Eric Johnson of Mormonism Research Ministry. We are addressing his book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons, A Practical and Comparative Guide to What the Bible Teaches, published by Harvest House Publishers. And before the break, you may recall, Eric, I was asking you to get more in detail on the radical shift in public relations that has occurred with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They are affirming and promoting things that no one 10 years ago, perhaps, would ever have dreamed they would be doing, especially in the area of those things that the left champions. And if you could pick up the ball from there.
Yeah, before I do, you had asked the question, how many people are in Japan? Just a right. Look on the internet. It was 130,000 people okay. who are Japanese Mormons. That's 0.1%. So it's not a very high number, but 130,000 is still a number. But they're a worldwide organization. They are all over. In fact, more people live outside the United States than speak inside the or live inside the United States. And the languages they speak, English is 45%. Catch this, 35% Spanish. So that's 80%, but 35% their first language is going to be Spanish. 9% Portuguese. Brazil, they're going crazy building temples over there. The first one was in 1978. So anyway, fewer inside the United States as there are outside now. But you had talked about people who said, well, we don't claim to be the only true church. Well, I think a Christian, it behooves them to know a little bit about the LDS standard works. I had mentioned earlier the four scriptures that Mormonism teaches as far as the written scriptures. I'll just read to you out of the Pearl of Great Price, the fourth of the four scriptures. This comes from Joseph Smith History, chapter one, and it's Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, talking about his first vision, supposedly he had when he was 14 years of age, and he was out in a field, basically, in upstate New York, and this is what God told him when Heavenly Father and Jesus appeared to him above him. It's he asked which of all the churches he should join. Verse 19, I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personage who addressed me said all their creeds, all their teachings were an abomination in his sight, that those professors or pastors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And then in verse 20, it says, he again forbade me to join with any of them. Latane knows. In earlier days, that was very big, and it still is today. Every Latter-day Saint knows Joseph Smith History, Chapter 1. They teach it from primary on, that this is the restored church, they're told, that we need to have a modern-day prophet. The 17th prophet is considered to be God's spokesperson, and Russell M. Nelson is doing a pretty good job of making himself out to be that spokesperson. So I realize for many Latter-day Saints, they don't like to talk that way. In fact, they'll say you're just as much of a Christian as they are. But when you quote this and say, well, what did God mean? Because that's not me speaking. That's not Joseph Smith speaking. Supposedly that's God speaking, that they were all wrong. How does a Latter-day Saint get beyond that? The great apostasy, I believe, is the reason why so many Latter-day Saints say amongst themselves when there's problems, they'll say, well, if the church isn't true, when they're talking about the LDS church, if the church isn't true, then nothing else is. How many times have you heard that, Latane? We hear that all the yep. time. Yep. And the idea is none of them are true. I'll let you come in and speak on that.
Well, when you have a church that claims that it alone can speak for God, it alone can define doctrine, and not only can it do it with doctrine in the past, but actually it's so contemporary that it's up to date. When you believe you have that, you wonder why anybody else would want anything lesser. You know, you wonder why someone would want just a Bible when you've got all these other things, including the teachings of the prophets and your own spirit-led local leadership. And so, yes, absolutely, I agree with you.
Well, we have a question from Grady, a very faithful listener of Iron Sharp and Zion Radio, very faithful financial supporter of our program as well. And Grady says, "Greetings, sister and brothers. Eric, I intend to purchase several of your books for our church's bookcases. Where's the best place to purchase these to benefit your ministry? Also, the elder that planted our church is also named Eric Johnson, and I want to get him an autographed copy. Is that possible? In Micah's book, he commented about the number of Christians who criticized instead of showing the love of Christ to Mormons. Do you see or hear this often?" And I'm assuming when he refers to Micah, he's talking about Micah Wilder, author of Passport to Heaven, also a friend of my co-host, Dr. Latane C. Scott. But if you could answer all of those questions, and if you need a reminder of what they were, I could reread them.
Well, yeah, let me just deal with the last question there, and I'll go backwards. Ephesians chapter 4 says that we as Christians are supposed to speak the truth in love. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, we're supposed to always have an answer for everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope we have, but do this with gentleness and respect. If you are out to win an argument, you are in the wrong business here of evangelism. I think Latane would agree with me on this. Stop trying to share your faith, because if you're just wanting to win the argument, you're going to lose the war. And I think that they're going to know us by our love and our concern. See, if a Latter-day Saint is a victim, and I believe they are, of this church and its leaders who I think are corrupt, then we will have compassion for them, that we'll want to love them to the Lord. So definitely, we don't want to come across. I don't want my books to be used as something that can be used to slap somebody around. I don't want that information to be used that way. If you're going to use it that way, please don't use my material. Do it because you care for Mormons. They're a great people. I hate to say good, because no one is good, the Bible says, but at the same time, they are kind and loving people, and I have had so many friends over the years who are Latter-day Saints. Part of my wife's family is Latter-day Saint as well. So I want to see them saved. I don't want to see them beaten over with the material we have. As far as where you can get the book, you can go to our website, introducingchristianity.com, which takes you to our website, mrm.org. But there, it has links to the four places you can get it. He can certainly order it from us, mrm.org, but if the first link on introducingchristianity.com will take you to our website. He can buy those. I think we're selling for $18, include shipping. Amazon.com, ChristianBooks.com, BarnesandNoble.com, those are all places that are carrying this book. And so, I think it's a great idea. He wants to put them into the church bookshelves. I'm hoping that Christians will read this book and have that desire to want to share their faith in a constructive manner. Not just, there's not a whole lot here on Mormonism. I'll have to be honest. If you want to know more about Mormonism, go to our book, Mormonism 101. I give you just enough to help you know where you're at. But then how do you share Christianity? And I do that in the 10 chapters by bringing out real life stories, evangelism stories that I've been involved with in my life. And I try to use that story to show you how you can use this information. I have charts in there. I have lots of citations from different people. This is not really my book. I cite the Bible more times than not. And then I'm using three different systematic theologies. I'm using dozens and dozens of different Christian writers to make the point of what Christianity was. And I'm going to tell you, Chris, this book I was a little fearful of. They say, and Latane, you're going to be able to give an amen to this. It's like giving birth to a baby when you write a book. All the ups and all the downs and everything that's going
on.
That's true. And then the fear is when you give the birth that people are going to call your baby ugly. And that was my fear, because I'm dealing with doctrine here. This book deals with doctrine. And that's, for somebody like yourself, Chris, you're very set on what you believe in. You should be. You've studied the scriptures. And then I've got you, and then I've got this guy over here on another end. And so that was my fear. So far, the book's only been out for a couple of weeks. So far, I haven't had a lot of criticism saying, well, my goodness, that's heresy. So that was a big thing with me, is I wanted to be so careful. I had lots of people reading this over. The publisher put a lot of energy into this. The whole project took 2 years for it to come out. But I think it's a book to have on a bookshelf in the church. But also I'm hoping that this, Chris, will be a book that people will feel confident that they could handle Latter-day Saint. They might not like the title. I already talked about that. What am I supposed to call this book? But if they would want to know what Christianity has to offer, I think what I've done is give you the essential issues in a way that is understandable for the average layperson.
By the way, I just have to insert in here, since we've been talking about a lot of deep and heavy stuff, a joke that something that you said reminded me of. Rodney Dangerfield, he said, "Oh, I was so ugly when I was born. Ooh, when the doctor saw me, he slapped my mother."
Yeah. And you do a good impression. Yeah.
But anyway, Grady specifically asked if he could get autographed copies of your book.
Have him order it from our ministry. Now, I'll be honest. So he'll do it with PayPal. Have him buy it off of our ministry. And if he does that in the next couple of days, I can get that out to him. I am going to be out of the country October 1 through 16. So if he would do that in the next day or two, order from our website. I tell you what, if he has any problems with that, he can contact me. My email is eric@mrm.org. And if he has any problems getting in there, but have him order that, put a note on there. I'd like these autographed, or at least one, or whatever he's asking for. And I can certainly do that before I leave on Saturday.
And Grady, since you have contributed financially so many times to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we do have your mailing address on file in Asheboro, North Carolina. And you are getting a free copy of this book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons by Eric Johnson, thanks to the generosity of Harvest House Publishers, and also thanks to the generosity of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. who will ship that book out to you at no charge to you or to us. We have an anonymous listener who says, "I am remaining anonymous because I have friends with whom I am dialoguing about Mormonism. They happen to be members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I was wondering, in your opinion, should we be sticking more with the Bible and what it truly teaches about Jesus Christ and the gospel when we have conversations with Mormons, or how much of our conversations should be involving the false teachings of Mormons?"
And I'm going to answer this, and I'm going to ask Latane for her opinion. Maybe she agrees with me, maybe she doesn't. The Secret Service studies the real bill as the primary focus as to what is a real bill. They know all the different tests. How many tests are there? I think there's like 17 tests to determine if that 100 is a real bill. I was just at a play, and out from the sky, it was a play having to do with called Lucky Stiff, and all these fake $100 bills came in. And if I were to show it to you, you would think it's a real bill, but you can look in the light, it doesn't work. So you need to know the original. But I'm going to say this: if you don't know the counterfeit, then it won't do you any good. As much as you know the right thing, it won't do you any good to try to share with the Latter-day Saint, because you're going to talk past each other if you're not understanding what their language is. You've got to learn the language. You have to understand when they say grace, that this is God's enabling power to keep the commandments. Well, that's not what the grace is that's on the original, so you got to know that counterfeit. Would you agree with me on that, Latane?
In fact, Eric, in your book, you offer two questions, which I think are very, very helpful. When you start a conversation with a Mormon, you ask these two questions, and I'll quote them. One of them is, "What do you believe about such and such?" And get them, because I think a lot of Christians want to jump in and want to operate on what they think they know, and they think that a Mormon may believe, without actually letting the Mormon say, "I believe this." And then the second question is, "What do you mean when you say, use the term?" So it's been my experience that if you don't go on the offensive first, if you ask clarifying questions, a lot of animosity and hard feelings and misunderstandings are precluded if you ask first what they believe and how they use the terms. Then you have a basis to work off of. And of course, it's really And maybe Eric doesn't have this problem, but I want to write down what they say so that I can come back, you know, and that's kind of intimidating to people. So I try not to do that. But those are two great questions that you had in your book, Eric.
And thank you. And what I would say back to you on that, Latain, is nothing. I said this earlier. Nothing is original in my book. It's my life of experience. And having taught theology at 11th grade Christian school level, because I taught for 17 years in Southern California, I was Bible department head of a large Christian school, being able to communicate that way, I think it's helped me a lot. But I think that if we don't understand that language and we end up messing things up royally rather than just letting the person telling us what they believe. I got that from the book Tactics by Greg Kochel, who mm-hmm. talks about the Columbo tactic. Mm-hmm. There's just one more thing. I'm not mm-hmm. as good of an impressionist as Chris, but you know, Peter Falk played Columbo. If you remember that old time show, all of our Gen X listeners are going, "Who in the world is Columbo?"
And I would swear R.C. Sproul very often was doing a Columbo imitation.
Yeah, well, I mean, I use other people's material in my book to say, listen, I've used this material for years. Here's what's worked for me, and asking them what it is they believe instead of telling them, as you just said, Latain, is so very important. Never assuming what they believe. Let them tell you. And what Kochel says is you're letting yourself become offensive rather than playing defense all the time. Let the atheists and the agnostics and the Mormons, let them do some answering. They always want us to be the Bible answer man.
Well, we want to thank the anonymous listener for sending in a question. And if you email me your full name and mailing address, you have also won a free copy of Introducing Christianity to Mormons by Eric Johnson. Compliments of Harvest House Publishers and compliments of CVBBS.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. We have another anonymous listener who says, in your educated opinion, do you believe that because of all the leftism that seems to be accepted by modern-day Mormons, they are going to be heading for a church split? And I'll start with Eric, and perhaps if Latain has any of her own ideas, she can chime in as well.
Well, let me say, in 2012, there was a survey done by Mormon Stories, John DeLynn, very popular atheistic podcaster who used to be Latter-day Saint. And the survey basically found that the main reasons, the top 10 reasons why people are leaving, had to do with doctrine, had to do with history of the church. Now, this is before what are called the Gospel Topics Essays were produced by the LDS Church from the year 2013 to the year 2015. In those 13 essays, the church admitted to things that the internet knew already. And Latain had talked about that earlier. They admitted that Joseph Smith had between 30 and 40 wives. We knew that from before. A third of his wives were married to living husbands. That's polyandry. A third of his wives were teenagers as young as 14. They admitted to that. They admitted that Joseph Smith used a seer stone and a hat to translate the Book of Mormon. Those were pretty heady issues. And I have a story in chapter 10 of an 80-year-old and he was 80 and his wife was 80 and they left the church. And it tells about my communication with them as they came into Sandra Tanner's bookstore on a day that I was volunteering saying they no longer believed in Joseph Smith because of those things. But I'm going to say there was another book published. It's called The Next Mormons by Jana Reese. And I'm sure you guys might be familiar with that book. If not, you ought to get it. The Next Mormons by Jana Reese, a Mormon blogger. She is published by Oxford. So this is a scholarly book. But she paid a lot of money to do surveys. What she discovered, the top 10 reasons, the number 8 was the top doctrinal or historical issue. The ones that were before that, the church no longer fit. I don't know if I can trust these men anymore. I'll tell you, the feminism issue and the idea that homosexuality is still not allowed in the Mormon church. Those two, I'm going to say increasing in the last 3 years, even since she's done this, because there's a lot of feminists who want the priesthood. There's a lot of feminists who want to pray to Heavenly Mother. They're not allowed to have those things. As far as the homosexuality, LGBTQ+, a lot of people are leaving because of that. I just talked to somebody last month, a woman who had just left a couple months before. And that makes it hard when I ask the why did you leave the church? What's the reason? She says, oh, because of the LGBTQ plus. That puts me in a difficult spot. I'd rather they say a doctrinal issue or a historical issue, or say, I found out it wasn't true anymore, rather than to use a social issue. Is it leading to a split? I don't know. I'm not a prophet in that sense, but there certainly is a lot of division, especially here in Utah at Provo, where BYU is located. They have all kinds of things happening. And just in the last month, we had an apostle go over there and try to lay down the law, and they're just rebelling over it at the church-run BYU, Brigham Young University. So we'll see what happens, but it's something that the church probably just needs to deal with better. Latane, did you have something to add on that?
Well, traditionally, you went to church in a Mormon ward according to the geography of where you lived in a town, which is kind of a foreign idea for many Christians. But now people are selecting wards according to their interests, and it is my understanding, and Eric probably has more firsthand experience with this than I do living in Utah, but there are entire wards that are LGBTQ, all the alphabet of sexuality, and they run the services, the church services, in a way that favors that and welcomes people with different sexual orientations. So that's kind of a new thing, I think, for Mormons, is to think that you would actually choose where you go to church, which means you choose your leadership and your brothers and sisters, which has not been the way it's been traditionally, you know. But I have a question for Eric, and it's kind of do we have time, Chris, for a question to him?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, I had discussed this before we went on the air, but one question I think a lot of people have about Mormonism is something that I would like to help with, but I want your opinion. If somebody asks you, is Mormonism a cult, how would you answer that?
We actually talk about that in chapter one of our book, Answering Mormons Questions. The first question, we dealt with it right away because it's often brought out, and the question goes like this: why won't you accept Mormons as Christians? Do you think we're a cult? Here's our response. We in that book that was published back in 2013 with Kriegel, we have response questions. And so we have three questions before the one I'm going to give you. And I don't like, by the way, to bring up the word cult. I don't bring out, well, you're not a Christian either. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start an argument before I have a chance to start talking. But if they ask that question, which is rare, why do you think people assume that your religion is a cult? I like that question if that got brought up to me, because let them tell you. Well, they say that, you know, we believe in polygamy or whatever else. And then you could go from there. Find out where they're at. Why did you bring that question to me? Because I never called you a cult. I'll never use that term at all.
Well, the reason I ask that is I'd like to offer a resource to Chris's audience. I've actually put together part of a book that I once published called Why We Left a Cult that was published quite a while ago by Baker Bookhouse. But I've extracted that and given the characteristics of pseudo-Christian cults. And without specifying Mormonism, I mean, there are lots of groups that can be considered pseudo-Christian cults. In other words, they use the terminology of Christianity. They may use the same, they may use the Bible or misuse the Bible or whatever. But yeah, if anybody would like a free copy of that ebook, which I think would be very helpful if anyone is interested in that, they can get it by writing or going to latayne.com, latayne.com/cults, cults. And so that's just a little bonus or gift I'd like to offer Chris's listeners. And also, if Eric has any use for it, absolutely my pleasure for him to use it as well. But I don't want to take attention away from how useful and helpful Eric's book is, because it is so detailed and so well organized, so that you can find the information that you need either by looking in the glossary or looking in the table of contents or looking in the descriptions, that you don't have to search around like you do in a lot of other books. So I really want to emphasize that.
Thank you.
I'd like to also give a plug to the ministry of a very dear friend of mine, Pastor Jason Wallace of Christ Presbyterian Church in Magna, Utah. He has created a very professional documentary on video called An Earnest Plea to Latter-day Saints, which can be found at lds.video, lds.video. And I am not only plugging this because yours truly, Chris Arnson, does the voiceovers for a number of people in the documentary, including Brigham Young. But even if I was not a part of that documentary in that way, it's really magnificent, and I strongly urge you to take advantage of it. It's free, lds.video. But anyway, before I go to the break, the final break, do either of you have anything that you want to say before you forget it? And then we'll move on to our final chapter in this.
I yield to Eric. He's the expert on this show, and I really appreciate it.
No, I don't have anything to add right now. So maybe somebody has some more questions out there on the next half hour.
I have a quick question for you, Eric. I see a Native American hanging on, or I should say, a painting of a Native American hanging on the wall behind you. And which of the lost tribes of Israel is that Native American from?
Well, that is there a Lamanite, one of the two people groups. No. My grandfather was a very accomplished artist, and so it's one of the paintings I have from him. And it just happens to be in my office, and so I aim my camera back there. And sometimes when I'm cropped, that's not shown, but you get a view of it. So, it's one of my favorites because I've had that since I was a boy.
One of these days, if I ever am given the opportunity to have a conversation with Mel Brooks, I would like to ask him if he knew about the connection to Native Americans and Mormonism. In a movie, some cowboys encounter some Native Americans on horseback, and the chief begins to speak to them in Yiddish, which is Mel Brooks. But anyway, just dying to find out if he did that as a spoof of what Mormons believe about Native Americans. But we're going to our final break right now. If you'd like to have a question asked or answered, asked and answered, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com, that's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. We have another anonymous listener who says, I have a friend who thinks he's an evangelical, often shows up at evangelical functions, but he is actually a member of an RLDS church, the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which today goes by the name the Community of Christ. I keep telling him that he is in a cult, and he refuses to acknowledge that fact, saying that there is far too much difference from this church than the Mormons. And he also says he believes in every evangelical tenet that I do. What can you say about the RLDS, now called the Community of Christ? How different is it from the official LDS church? And how much concern should I have over this brother's soul?
Well, I think there should be a lot of concern, no doubt. The Reorganized Latter-day Saint Church, later became known as the Community of Christ, stayed behind while Brigham Young took the people out of Nauvoo, Illinois in 1846. The actual ancestors of Joseph Smith became the leaders. I was just in Nauvoo this past summer in July, and we sat down for an hour and a half with an apostle of the Community of Christ. And I'll tell you right off the top, they are not an evangelical Christian organization. If you want to liken them to anything, they're not any closer to Mormonism than they are evangelical Christianity. I would call them a cross between New Age and liberal Protestant Christianity, like a Methodist church or different kinds of churches that are out there. I would deal with every individual as they come. I would ask the questions that we're talking about earlier. Latane and I were talking about, what do you believe about blank? And get them to define things, because for them, doctrine is not as important as it would be for the evangelical Christian. I like to ask the question, what does it say in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13? Well, it says that that we may know we have eternal life. I'll ask the person, whether it's Latter-day Saint, whether it's a member of the Community of Christ, or anybody. I think it's a wonderful tactic to say, if you were to die right now, would you end up in the very best that God has for us, heaven? And get them to explain yes or no. And if they say yes, oftentimes they're going to say, well, why should you be allowed in? And they'll say oftentimes, well, I'm a good person. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying. Well, those are admirable. Latter-day Saints like to say that all the time. But sin means that you have to have a record of perfection. The only way that you can receive perfection is not based on what you can do. Salvation by grace through faith, after all you can do. It's not based on your work. It is based on work. It's based on the work of Jesus. He's the one who said, it is finished. He's the one who imputed his righteousness into your account based on faith and faith alone. A Community of Christ member does not have that assurance, does not believe in faith alone. I've talked to Community of Christ members who are even atheistic in their mindset. So if he comes from that brand, I would deal specifically with just asking those kinds of questions. I think you can have a productive conversation. What would you say on that?
Well, you have to remember that the RLDS, or Community of Christ Church, does believe in the story of Joseph Smith, and or does their church is organized around that concept that happened. But what is, when you can't believe something that didn't happen, you consign it to myth, which means that they have tended, in my opinion, to consign the Bible to myth as well. And so your assessment that they are like many liberal churches where there are good principles in these things, but they don't necessarily have to be factually or historically true. They had to go that route because they, like the Mormon Church, can no longer contend that the things that Joseph Smith said were accurate and valid in terms of what happened in his historical life, et cetera. The other thing is their claim for authority, their claim for authority for this, for a church on earth, is ancestral, as you said. It goes through the descendants of Joseph Smith. And I, Eric, you can tell me this. Haven't they kind of reached the end of the road on that?
Well, yeah, they stopped about 20 years ago.
Yeah, the last descendant died. And then what could they do? Well, it no longer became essential that to have that as a mark of their trueness of being the true Mormon church or the true LDS church, because they no longer had a descendant of Joseph Smith to carry on. So it's been a difficult road for them. I think of all of the iterations of Mormonism, I think they've tried harder to appear Christian with just a little Joseph Smith on the side, and now they're in a worse situation than even the Mormon church. They don't have the funds, they don't have the influence, they don't have a lot of things that the Mormon church has. They also don't have the society or the community worldwide. I mean, you can go anywhere if you're a Mormon. When I was in college, my car broke down in Moab. What did I do? I called the Mormon bishop. Of course they helped me. You know, I don't think that's at all the case with the community of Christ just because of their few numbers.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com, if you type in RLDS in the search engine, you will be able to hear some interviews I did with former RLDS members. And unless my memory is shaky, I'm pretty sure that an interesting fact to throw in about them is that one of the reasons why the LDS do not use the Joseph Smith Bible is because the RLDS owns the copyright on it. Am I right on that?
Oh, yeah, that's what they say. But, you know, they have Article 8. Joseph Smith came up with 13 articles of faith. Article 8 says that the Bible is true as far as it is translated correctly. That's a misnomer. I talk about it in the first two chapters of my book, Introducing Christianity to Mormons. But Joseph Smith did complete quote-unquote translation. He just took the King James and he changed words and added things to it, including half a chapter at the end of Genesis predicting the Joseph the seer, predicted him coming. It's a terrible quote-unquote translation. I don't even like to use that word, but it's Joseph Smith translation. He finished it in 1833. And by the way, the church uses it in its notes in the four volumes that it puts together. It's called the Quad. And the notes all come from the inspired version or the Joseph Smith translation, even though they don't use it officially. So they still use it, and they cite it almost every month in the Liahona magazine, their official church magazine.
Wow. Well, I'm assuming that they have to pay royalties to the RLDS. I don't know that for a fact, but we are now out of time, and I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of our interview today. I know that I would like both of you back on the program. I want to make sure that our listeners have all the information that they need for both of you. First of all, if you want to get in touch with the organization that Eric Johnson represents, Mormonism Research Ministry, just go to mrm.org, mrm.org. And Dr. Latane C. Scott, if you want to find out more about her and the latest in her activities and writings, go to latayne.com, and that's LATAYNE.com. And Eric, do you have any final words briefly that you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, I just wish I had a name where I could put Eric.com and have people actually get to it. But I sure appreciate having you and Latane interview me on this. I think this is going to be a valuable book. I appreciate your kind words you both have said. And to God be all the glory.
God be the glory.
Well, Latane, do you have any final words as well?
Latane.com/cults.
Great. Well, I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in questions. I want you all, I ask of you all to please pray for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as we are facing some very serious financial struggles, and ask of you to pray for me personally as well. I am looking forward to hearing from all of you out there in my listening audience with questions for our guests in the days to come, and look forward to seeing you at my next event, whatever that event may be. It was such a joy to meet many of you for the first time at the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, as well as rekindle old friendships, and even meet many of you for the first time at the debate that Dr. James R. White engaged in this past Saturday. I can never thank you folks enough who listen to this program, who approach me when you see me in public, especially when I'm manning an exhibitor's booth. I can never thank you enough for the comfort and encouragement you give me by letting me know how much Iron Sharpens Iron Radio means to you. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.